do, and thank you for all that
Love
you do.
Talk Radio.
Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We will have a special by the sisters. $5.98 in the worship of the Lord. He lifted me out.
Oh, my.
Sister Melita, if you'll come forward.
Praise the Lord for being here this morning. Ah, we love the Lord. And this is one song we have not sang in quite some time. But in times like these, we know what, that's not the name of the song though, but in times like these, we're singing about something, a rocky road. We have rocky roads to travel. The Lord said it wasn't going to be easy. Mm-hmm. We go through things as being saints of God, just like a sinner man go through. But Lord has blessed us. He's with us. We can call on Him.
Amen.
When we need Him. This is called Rocky Road. Mm-hmm. Listen to the words and pray that they'll touch your heart.
Amen.
We don't mind a road that's narrow. We don't mind a road that's straight. If it leads us to that city, just inside the pearly gate, we don't mind the hills and valleys. We thank God in everything, for the next stop may be heaven, where we'll hear the angels sing. Rocky road, rocky road, take us home to be with Jesus. Take us up to heaven's gate, where His loving arms receive us. Rocky road, we are told, soon your rocks will turn to gold. Rocky road, rocky road, take us home, take us home. We have looked for curves and crossings, there have been pitfalls on the way, but it kept us ever watching, kept us praying every day. We don't mind the rocks and rivers that we meet on our way home. It's the road that leads to heaven, where we'll nevermore will roam. Rocky road, rocky road, take us home to be with Jesus. Take us up to heaven's gate, where His loving arms receive us. Rocky road, we are told, soon your rocks will turn to gold. Rocky road, rocky road, take us home, take us home. We don't mind if friends forsake us, or if sickness lays us low. We'll just praise the Lord in heaven for the things that make us grow. We don't mind to understand it when the clouds fill up the day. Rocks or rivers, hills or valleys, we'll just take what comes our way. Rocky road, rocky road, take us home to be
rocky road, rocky road. Take us home to be with Jesus. Take us up to heaven's gate, where his loving arms receive us. Rocky road, we are told, soon your rocks will turn to gold. Rocky road, rocky road, take us home, yes, take us home.
Amen. Amen.
Thank the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hadn't heard that for a while. I had to join in with them sisters a little bit. I hadn't heard that for a while. Yes. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. It can be a rocky road. But Jesus done already tread them rocks. And he said, I've overcome the world. So we can overcome too. Amen. Yes, amen, amen. Well, we thank the Lord once again for being here. And Brother Scott, I want to share a scripture.
Sure.
You know, thank the Lord once again for being here, and also this Mother's Day. And, mm-hmm. But so we're, as we sit before the Lord, and I want to share this scripture that's found in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. And it's found around the 33rd verse, but I'm going to start at 31. And it says, and said, Cornelius, thy prayers is heard. So this is the Lord speaking to Cornelius, and Cornelius letting Peter know what had taken place, had heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Sanner, Simon, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. And this is the verse I want to get to. It said, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and this is Cornelius letting Peter know, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Mm-hmm. Now therefore are we all here present before God, mm-hmm. to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to read that to let you know that we are all here. Mm-hmm. Brother Scott's here. We've been praying for Brother Scott to come.
Amen.
And we got word that Brother Scott was working on a message and enjoying a message that the Lord had given. So, Brother Scott, once again, now therefore are we all here, present before God,
amen.
To hear all things that are commanded thee of God.
All right.
All right? So let us take this moment of a brief prayer and allow Brother Scott to come before us. Our kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, once again we look to thee in prayer. Truly want to say thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the service thus far, your spirit felt thus far. Now we ask that thou will strengthen and be with your manservant that you have sent us to speak to us the words of God. We ask that thou would blessing, guide, and directing through. And let us be ever so careful to give thee the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Scott.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
So good to be here once again in the house of prayer. Likewise, we had heard a few days ago that there were those praying for us and lifting us up before the Lord that God might lay a word upon our hearts.
Amen.
Because no man wants to hear from another man.
Amen.
Everybody's got an opinion. and an understanding. But we're after what God says and what God would have us to know. And so we certainly thank God for this privilege, for this opportunity that has been given to stand before you as God's people, my brothers and sisters of like precious faith, and declare what thus saith the Lord. Brother Brian here, he said he hadn't heard that song for a long time. Amen. I have never heard that song. So, but not surprising. Every time I come and never cease to fail, I always hear what I consider a new song, at least new to me. And it always blesses me because, as it was said, listen to the message. Listen to what the songwriter would have you to get. And there's always a blessing in a song that's written by someone who's gone through something. For many to be able to sing and be a blessing to others. As always, we want to certainly honor and let Minister Renee Jenkins know how much we love and appreciate her and her ministry here and how God is blessing her in word and in work here at Wayne Avenue. And in the absence of Sister Minister Blake, we just want to honor her as well. In her absence, we just thank God for her, for each and every one of you. Just family. Just family. One of the things I love about coming here is that oftentimes when you go and speak at various churches, you generally have a theme. You'll have a text, and they stick to a three-point discussion. But here, I can go from Genesis to Revelation, and it's all good. And I just thank the Lord for that. Not to say that I'm going to preach from Genesis to Revelation, but just to have that freedom and know that whatever scripture comes to mind, I'm free to share with it. I don't have to worry about somebody complaining about you use too many scriptures. Well, how can you use too much of God's word?
Amen.
I always thought the more you've got, the better off you are. Amen. And so we just thank God for this opportunity again. We want to say happy Mother's Day. If you can or would, if you just raise your hand, your mother, grandmother, mother-in-law, mother. Okay. All right. Got a lot of mothers. Okay. Well, happy Mother's Day to you. And this morning, God has laid upon my heart a subject, the mother God remembered. The mother God remembered. If we look at verse 19 from the scripture text that we've had read in our hearing, there in 1 Samuel chapter 1, in verse 19, it reads, "And they rose up in the morning early, worshiped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." Oftentimes, we can pick up the Word of God, 66 books of the Bible, choose a book, and just begin to read. And oftentimes, we'll try to read the Word of God as though we're reading a novel. But we'll soon find out that you just can't read the Word of God like you're reading a novel, starting with the beginning to the end. Because every word in God's Word has a specific meaning and message. So we want to be careful as we read from one text to the next that we take time to dissect that scripture text, understand the meaning in which the time it was written, so that we'll be clear in what God would have us to know and understand. So it is an exciting time when we set time apart to study God's Word. And so that's why God always encourages us to, on a daily basis, to meditate on the Word of God. As a matter of fact, he makes a promise. He says to us, he says, "For them whose mind is stayed on me, I will keep them in perfect peace." That means we'll be complete, we'll be whole, if we keep our minds, our thoughts on him. Now, there's been times where I wonder, how is that possible in the world in which we're facing, because we're always facing various challenges. And so how is it that
with the bills due and the job demands and all the things that are going on in the community and such. How is it that we can keep our minds stayed on Him when the news is suggesting so many things that causes us to keep our minds stayed on them? And so you find yourself at war there. But God is saying, I'm saying to you, if you think on these things, those things that are pure, just, honest, good report, He said, if you keep your mind stayed on these things, your thoughts on these things, I will keep you in perfect peace.
Amen.
And what more do we want in times like these than that perfect peace? I mean, there's a lot of things the world offers, and we know they are enticing. But we also know there are many things that we've given so much to obtain, and yet after getting them, we have found that we've been take in the Word of God, meditate and get an understanding of God's Word. God truly blesses us in a way so we value books of the Bible, and for giving me a desire, for giving us a hunger, a thirst for righteousness.
Amen.
Just like we get hungry and thirst in the physical, likewise in the spiritual, there's that hunger and thirst where we can't wait, not to get a piece of cheesecake, but we can't wait to pick up where we left off in God's Word. God blesses us just like that. Believe it or not, with all the these and thous, He intends for us to understand His Word clearly, just as we're to bring about that understanding.
Amen.
So you will, in the flesh, find it difficult, challenging at the very least. But if you're reading through the Spirit, it'll just open up like a child's book. It'll be so plain, so clear. You'll find yourself asking, how could I miss that all this time? And we can never exhaust God's Word. So as we look at 1 Samuel, I know it's not a book that we find ourselves exploring as often as some of the Gospels, but this is where God led us. And it's no doubt a familiar story of a mother. But we want to kind of start at the beginning. And so everything I'm sharing with you is from 1 Samuel chapter 1. So if you read 1 Samuel chapter 1 when you get home, you'll find everything that I'm speaking of as we move through here. But we want to start with this in mind. Hannah was the wife of a man by the name of Elkanah. Husband and wife. Elkanah loved Hannah. Everything was going great until they both discovered something that they did not know. And it would be something that would change their life going forward. Have you ever experienced that time in your life when you thought, man, this is too good to be true? I mean, everything seems to just be falling in place and life is treating you good. And you hear that old phrase, I'm living the dream. Everything is just great. And then, boom, something hits you that changes your life. It rocks your world. Well, this is how I picture the relationship, the marriage between Elkanah and Hannah. Everything was going good, but then they learned something of the unknown. What they learned was that Hannah could not bear children. Now for us, in our time, in our age, there are a lot of different options, adoption, and just a lot of different things that you can go and have children in your life, be a mother. But Hannah had this burning desire. She had a passion. She wanted to have children, not just for herself, but for Elkanah. And so we have to understand in their culture what this meant. If you were a woman and were without children or the ability to have children, it was as though you were a cursed being.
It was a disgrace not to have any children. It was like in this time when we look at someone who's not financially stable. It's a sad and bad situation. Well, in their time, it was a disgrace for a woman not to be able to bear children. So much so that in their time, they had a law where if a woman had not bared any children within a 10-year period, it gave the husband the legal right to take another wife just for the sole purpose of having children, of carrying on that name. But we want to focus on Hannah. While everything was going all right, she learns of this situation. But if that wasn't bad enough, what she learned secondly really rocked her world. And that was she learned that God had closed her womb. So now she's looking like, you mean all of this and it's God's fault? I don't understand. I commit my way unto the Lord. I trust also in him. And he promised he would give me the desires of my heart if, and I've done all the right things. I mean, I go to church. I'm an usher. I sing in the choir. I give my tithe. I do everything, but I don't understand why God would do this. He closed my womb. God has to know what that means, not only to the woman, but to the family. I don't understand. But as they begin to really consider this today, we at times struggle with the same thing when with current events in our lives, things that happen that we don't understand when we're doing everything God has asked of us, and then we learn that God has done something. He's allowed something to take place in our life that's going to change everything. I couldn't help but remembering when Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "Let us go to the other side." So us means we all are going to the other side. But how would they get there? They had to take a boat from one side to the other side. Okay, that's no problem, especially when you had a fisherman there that lived their life. You know, they know how to work this thing. They know how to navigate. But Jesus had told them to go to the other side. But if you recall there in Matthew or Mark, they get halfway and a storm hits. Perish, forgetting all about that, he was the one who said, go to the other side. So what does this tell us about Hannah's situation? All that God requires of us, and still may find ourselves in a storm. Still find ourselves like Hannah trying to wrap her head around what is happening and why. Just because we are children of God, this does not put a hedge against storms in our life.
Amen.
But we're thinking about this mother who God remembered, and we're going to consider what she did from this time going forward. Because now things are going to change. And there's so many examples of this very situation, especially in the Old Testament. And so I found it exciting. Why? Because the next thing that happens is her husband now faces a decision. He has to make a choice. And we will find ourselves, when we face these storms in our lives, we are going to have to make a choice. We're going to have to make a decision. Now, this husband, he has now the right to put away Hannah and get somebody who can bear children to carry on his name. Or he can choose to keep the love of his life and get another woman, another wife. This is all in keeping with their culture, their time.
Right.
Keep this in mind.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But he had to make a decision. But he loved Hannah. But he knew it was a necessity to have children, to have sons especially, but daughters as well. And so he made the choice to take on another wife. He thought that was the answer to his dilemma. He thought. How many times have we found ourselves making a decision only to find out later as things begin to progress and we learn that, oh, man, I blew this one. I messed up. Oh, boy, Lord, I missed it this time. I thought this was your will. This was your way, but I missed it. I missed it. Here, Elkanah, he thought the answer was a second wife. But as we go on into the story, we learn that this second wife that he brought in became Hannah's worst nightmare. It answered one solution but created another problem, another storm. So now Hannah has to deal with not only her inability to have children, but now she's got to deal with this other woman in the house. But Hannah knew something. He said, the scripture tells us, Hannah said, I have Elkanah's heart. But Penina said, yeah, but I got his children. And so what we find here, the difference between Hannah, a godly mother, in spite of the storm in her life, we have another woman in the picture who's going to create havoc because she has something that Hannah desires greatly, though she is not coveting this other woman's children, but she does desire to have children of her own. She desires to be a mother. But how does she go about it? How do we go about accomplishing God's will, God's purpose in our lives? How do we get to that place where God remembers us as individuals? God, remember me. We say it all the time in our prayer requests. Remember so-and-so. Because we know the value of prayer, and we know the value of God remembering each and every individual and how he'll lay his hands on each and every individual and change things. So we have Hannah here dealing with this woman who's had sons and daughters and who's choosing intentionally to rub it all in Hannah's face constantly. The scripture says year by year. That's 365 days. Hannah's have to suffer this woman's constant nagging at her about how she is inadequate as a woman, how she is worthless, how she will never be nothing as far as this household goes, and just all kinds of things. And I've heard amongst young people how that some feel that they're better than others, not better off, but better than, and so therefore they will talk them down. I think they call it in the schools bullying. They will talk them down, tear them down, rip them down, even on your iPads and things. It's become such a big issue. Now there's state law being worked out for it. But this is an individual with a spirit like that of the devil. And so it should not be too bothersome or worrisome when we hear individuals speak nothing but negative. Everything come out of their mouth is negative. Well, that's evident that they don't have the spirit of love in them. If all they have to say is negative, if all they're ever doing is tearing down, never building up. Mm-hmm. And so this is what Hannah had to deal with for years. And so I think about individuals, mothers, who there's that absent father in the house. And so that mother's having to do literally everything. But I admired Hannah because Hannah could, like some, she could have just left. She could have just walked out. After all, they were not her children. They weren't her sons and daughters. But instead, what Hannah did was she endeavored to invest in something that wasn't even hers. She stayed and invested in these children. I remember a basketball player his name, Kevin Durant. It's been 2 or 3 years ago. He was awarded MVP, most viable player. And as he was being interviewed, tears were running down his eyes as he began to talk about his mother. He said, "Mom, this is yours. You are the most valuable player." He said, "You made sure we stayed out of the streets. You made sure we got our classes and we didn't cut them and we did our homework. Mom, you are my most valuable player." And as tears begin to stream down his eyes, they begin to turn the cameras in and they saw that some of the sports anchors, they had tears running down their eyes. The next thing you know, it was in the paper how that as this young man honored his mother for what she did, the difference she made in his life, others began to relate to the same impact their mother had upon their life and honoring them and how that if it wasn't for Mom, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Hannah could have walked away, but instead she chose to invest. If you remember the book of Ruth, Naomi and her daughter-in-laws, Ruth being one of them, and Oprah being the other, and how that they had lost their husbands, and how the three of them were together, and Naomi decided, you know, I'm going back home. And the two daughter-in-law says, "We're going to go with you." They were going to abandon their own homeland, which was Moab, and go back. But she had made such an impression on these daughter-in-laws, they didn't even want to go home, even when they could have, but wanted to follow Naomi. I want to make your God my God. Wherever you go, I want to go. Because she had invested. They saw something in their mother-in-law that compelled them to forsake everything. But if you look at that story, out of the two, one decided to go back. Oprah kissed Naomi and decided, "I'm going back." And if you think about that, we got children. Mothers have children that they raise equally. And there are those who will go to the church, hear the word, surrender their life unto the Lord, and follow him. But then there will be those others who they'll go to church, but they're not in the church. They'll read the word, but they don't receive the word. And it's all because in their mind, they're hearing, but they're thinking about everything outside the world that they would have to leave behind. And so rather than following what they know to be truth, they choose to leave. They leave heaven behind and go out into the world. And if you notice, you never hear anything else said about Oprah because she turned her back on the Lord. Mothers have those who receive God as a result of their example. And then they have those who forsake the way of God and are found lost forever. But Hannah stayed with it. And even though she was being ridiculed every day, and we know there are things in our lives that just nag at us and nag at us and nag at us to the point where we almost feel like we're going to break. But that's where God's grace steps in. And we learn what it means when Paul said God's grace is sufficient. We learn that by experience, God's grace, his power is sufficient to keep us even in our worst storm. And when we look at Hannah, this was her worst storm, her worst nightmare. But she didn't run. She didn't seek to get away. She trusted in God. If you read the story, you will find, though they went to Shiloh, to the temple, to worship and offer sacrifices yearly, and every year, Peninnah wore her out. But Elkanah loved her so much, though he gave Peninnah his second wife, her portion, all of her sons and daughters, their portion, the Bible lets us know he gave Hannah double portion because of the love he had in his heart for her, even though she produced no children. He still had that love. And Hannah still had that faith. Though at this point, she could have been left without a protector. She could have been left without a provider. But Elkanah chose to remain her husband because he loved her. Jesus so loved us while we were yet in sin,
yes,
while we were doing everything against his word. God loved us. He could have, even by right, forsake us, but he chose to remain with us.
Amen.
He chose to work in and through our lives and help us deal with the issues, those strongholds in our lives. And I look at Elkanah, he did everything he could. But Hannah wanted a son. She wanted a man child. And it wasn't for herself. She wasn't just trying to satisfy me, myself, and I. She wanted to contribute. She wanted to do her part. And whatever our part, our purpose is here on earth, we want to satisfy it. And so when we pray not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
That's what we want in our lives. But like Hannah, we're constantly facing trials, tribulation. We're constantly facing storms, and sometimes storms where we find ourselves saying, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care about this situation I'm in? But that's when we take our eyes off the word. The word lets us know we have to pray without ceasing.
Amen.
There's no point in our storm where we're free to let go And so we look at Hannah there in verse 9. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. In verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. All these years had gone by, all this time where she suffered at the mouth of Peninnah, but now she decides, this time when we go to the temple, after we've eaten and all, this time I'm going to the temple. I'm going to bow myself before the Lord. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to let my request be made known unto God.
Amen.
Because it was God who has closed my womb. It's God who can open it.
Amen.
Only God.
Amen.
So she humbles herself, and she goes to the Lord in prayer. But how many know when we pray to God, we got to pray the right way?
That's right.
We just can't make him like he's a Santa Claus, as this world will know it, and think we can just give him a list of things and he's just going to have it there when we open our eyes the next day. No, we got to pray right. Not my will, but thy will. Appointment. But Hannah said, Lord, I know you've closed my womb. But Hannah said, if you give me a man child, I will give him back to you. Now, Hannah's not living for her husband, Elkanah. Hannah's vision has been changed to living for the Lord. Now, it's not let me have a son for my husband, but Lord, in service unto you. Lord, you give me this son, I'm going to give him right back to you, and no razor will touch his head, which in that time, that was a Nazarite. That was a vow of the Nazarite. No razor was to touch their hair, so they had really, really long hair. But there was a reason for that, unlike today.
Amen.
But Hannah's willing to humble herself. She's willing to pray right. And so she makes this request, and look what happens. She's in the house of God. She's in church. She's come boldly. She's praying. There's nobody else in here except the priest. And it says he's sitting over here. And she's up here praying. And it says she's pouring out her soul inwardly. He's looking at her mouth. The priest is noticing her mouth is moving, but he's not hearing a sound. You ever found it difficult to pray because within your soul, your heart, you're grieving so coming out. And so Hannah, pouring her heart out before the Lord, and then she's interrupted by the priest. The priest is suggesting to her she's been drinking because he's not hearing anything. He's only seeing. He doesn't know the heart of man, which is why God said, judge not lest ye be judged, because all we can judge is what we see, what we can hear, what we can feel or smell. Only God knows the whole man. Only God knows the heart. But here's the man of God passing judgment on a woman who's pouring out her heart unto the Lord, and he's suggesting she's drunk. But sometimes, even when it comes to leadership, you have to let them know the truth, because the truth will set you free. Yeah. And so Hannah let the priest know, wait a minute, don't suggest I'm a drunkard. Don't suggest I've come to the house of the Lord under the influence. I'm pouring out the depths of my soul here. And after she talked with him, he blessed her.
Yes.
He said, be it unto you according to your prayer. And where she went in grieving in heart, the scripture let us know she left out rejoicing. Now that's how I like to pray. I like to pray. I like to get there all alone, no distractions. And I'm pouring out my heart, and I'm not going to let anything or anybody deter me. They're not going to distract me from what I'm trying to do. The Lord is present, and I'm praying, and he's hearing my prayer, and he's going to honor my prayer because I'm praying right.
Amen.
If it's not your will, I don't want it. I don't want it if it's not your will. But he's praying. She was praying right, and because she was praying right, if we go on and continue to read, we will find that the Lord remembered her. And he honored her prayer request and blessed her with the son we know to be Samuel. That young man that she said she would give back to the Lord, when she winged that child, she didn't say, well, Lord, man, let me have a little time with him. I mean, I'll get back with you. No, she didn't renege on her vow.
Amen.
When that child was weaned, she took that child to the temple, to the very priest that accused her of being drunk. And when she got there, she reminded him, hey, I'm that one that was here. Yeah, remember me? And you, I'm keeping my vow.
Amen.
Here's my son Samuel. But what really stands out to me is this. Look at our young people today. Who has the greatest influence on them today? But these athletes, not taken away from their skills, but some of them aren't the best influence.
Amen.
And yet, Hannah, when she took her son to the temple, that's like we taking mothers taking their children to church. What Hannah wanted was that the influence upon her son was from godly men.
Amen.
Not men of the world.
Amen.
She surrounded Samuel with nothing but godly men and the word of God by being in that temple. Wasn't no foolishness going on in the church, not in that temple. And so all Samuel grew up to know was the word of God,
Amen.
The way of God. And so he knew the truth of God's word. And God blessed him, for it was Samuel who anointed David, the greatest king Israel ever had. The scripture says David was a man after God's own heart. Samuel was used to make that happen.
Amen.
It was God that did it all, but Samuel was used. All because there was a mother who decided not to get attitude when she learned she could not have children. Because it was not that she could not have children, but God was working a purpose and into his life, her life. It was more important for him, for God, to see Samuel in the temple than just to give her children to work in the field. God's purpose is always number one.
Amen.
And as mothers, even as mothers, fathers, as the body of Christ, we all need to know in and through our lives is one purpose. We are here for one purpose. And as long as we commit ourselves unto the Lord, God will satisfy that one purpose. Even if we go astray, he's going to bring us back to the right path. And that's what he has done. In closing, there's a commercial on TV, Sister Francine. It's a little fella, looked like he's about 5 or 6, and he's in the restroom. And he really needs to go, but he has a problem. He's working with it. He's working with it. But he just can't make it happen. But his training kicked in. And he says, Mom, we have a situation. That was a smart young man. He understood, Mom, we have a situation. Because if you don't get in here and help me with this, then you are going to have a situation, not just me. And so he cried out, we. But as children of God, that's what we need to do. When we have a problem, when we have a situation, we need to cry out, Father, we have a situation. We need to remind ourselves we're not in this by ourselves. When we can't work it, then God can. If you think about that commercial, though as cute as it is, if you look at it, the problem that young man was having, he was pulling the wrong way. It would not release because it can only go one way to release. The other way locks it. We have to know as children of God, if we don't go the right way, then what's going to happen? We're going to get locked into that situation, and we ain't going to be able to get out. But when we cry out unto the Lord, now, you know, it's just our nature. We're going to try to fix it ourselves. Oh, we got this. And so we're going to work it. We're going to work it. But when it gets tense, when we get to that point where, oh, I got something got to happen here. We got to move. Then we're going to cry out. That's just our nature. But God is saying, just cry out to me. I got you. Amen. Mom is never too far away. Amen. She's always right there where she needs to be to help in that time of crisis. That's mother. Think about it. Think about it growing up as a little kid. Anything that happened, that favorite, I got a boo-boo, and she kisses it, and she puts that little Band-Aid on it. And as an adult, we're looking like, really? Oh, I mean, you really need a Band-Aid? I can't even see the scratch, Harley, but hey, what that does for that little child builds a security and a love. I love my mother because she's always there. When I need her, when I'm hurting, she always says the right words, that strong embracement. I love my mother. Those memories, you grow. And when you have children, you pass it on. You pass it on. And so we thank God for our mothers. We thank God that we can cry out not only to our mothers, but more importantly, cry out to our Father in that time of need. Amen. When we can't seem to work it, God is saying, just cry out. And I'll be right there. I'm never too far away. I'm a very present help in time of need, in time of trouble. He's there. So we don't have to go this alone. We don't have to get an attitude and try to run from our storm. We don't have to listen to the enemy who plants these thoughts in our mind. Don't you know that just because we think it, don't make it true?
That's right.
Just because we think it, don't make it true. Either it's true or it's not. It's not because we think it makes it true. Either it's true or it's false. And the truth will set us free. So let us be in the Word. Let us be about our Father's business and not be discouraged when those storms come. Understand that God is in control, complete control of our lives. But we will, as the people of God, we must take up our cross and follow Him. As we witness in Word the suffering of Jesus Christ, we read the Word, and in our mind, we process it. And we think the pain he must have suffered when they He was beaten, and then an old rugged cross put on his shoulder. You know, when you get a sore, you pull your sock over that foot. You ready to scream just because it hurts so bad. But you think about the beating he took, and then to bear that old rugged cross, this is all for us. He knew no sin. He suffered all this for us.
Amen.
And he tells us, now, if you're going to follow me, you're going to take up your cross. But I got you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But that's not to say, humanly speaking, we will not suffer the pain. Just as he suffered, we will have to suffer pain for Christ's sake. But there is a difference when you're suffering just because you did something we shouldn't have done, as opposed to suffering for Christ's sake. The pain may be the same, but when you say and encourage yourself, I'm suffering this, I'm in this, not because this knucklehead over here has an attitude, but I'm suffering this for Christ's sake. The devil would suggest you're suffering because this person got an attitude. But the truth is, you're suffering it for Christ's sake, because he's head of your life. Read the book of Job. The devil can't do anything except God allow it. Everything he does, God puts a boundary. You can go this far, and that's it. Until I move the boundary line, you can't go any further. You can't do nothing else. So that's there to encourage us. Though we think, Lord, I can't take anymore. I just can't. He's our creator. He knows how much these physical bodies can take, be it young or older. He knows what we can take. And so all we have to do is trust that he knows and that he's got us covered and that he will not allow us to suffer any more than we can bear, but will always make a way of escape.
Amen. Amen.
God is good, is he?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All the time. Let us be faithful to his word. God bless you. God bless you.
Well, we truly want to thank the Lord for the message. As the pianist makes her way to the piano. You know, as I listened to the message, Brother Scott, I heard some things in there you spoke about, saying that it was God's plan. Mm-hmm. Only God closed the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Only God could open the womb.
Mm-hmm.
God drove the man out of the garden from the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
And only God has now made it possible that we can get to the tree of life through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So many truths in that understanding that you just preached to us. And I thank the Lord for it. I was able to find it and understand the truth of God's word in that message about Hannah and how God delivered her because she had a willing heart to trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
And even now, under the sound of that preaching and understanding, we ask, is there anyone that has an understanding of the willing heart that Hannah had to be delivered from being barren, that you're able to come forward and look to the Lord in prayer and realize he can deliver a soul that is unable to bear fruit to him, unable to do the will of God until there's the forgiveness of sin. I have a scripture I want to read once again, Brother Scott.
Mm-hmm.
It's found in Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter. It says, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So thank the Lord for you delivering what the Lord had given you. And it was a message, even though it leaned towards Hannah, who was barren, but you had to be able to find spiritually the barren life that is without God, that needs to be renourished and needs to come to an altar of prayer and ask God to deliver them. So at this time, do we have a song? Page 415 in the Evening Light. Keep it in mind what the message was. The message was there was a plan of God. God's in the plan. He has a plan of salvation for mankind. And the great plan of salvation is to give us peace. Deliver us from that grieving heart like Hannah had.
Yes.
We don't realize that we're without God. We have is not complete. Without God, we are not complete.
Amen.
So allow the understanding to speak to your heart as we stand and turn to page 415 in the Evening Light. Will you come to Jesus? Hannah came to the house of God and to the altar of prayer, and she found what was necessary. You can too this day come to an altar of prayer, and truly you will find that Jesus is there, and he will answer that prayer from the heart of forgiveness. Amen.
Amen.
Will you come? Come to Jesus, he is calling. Will you come to him without delay? He is full of love, so kind and gracious. He will surely bless your soul today. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come? Will you come to Jesus, full of mercy? Will you give him time, talent too? Will you not prepare to reign in glory? Sinner, to your precious soul be true. Will you come to me, the Lord of all? Will you come to him in mercy fall? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come? Will you come to Jesus? Do not tarry. He has paid the price for ransom soul. Faithful in an active service standing. Though the world around in sin is lost, will you come to him? Will you come? Mercy call. Prostrate fall. Will you come? Will you come to Jesus? Time is flying. Do not wait a moment. Come just now. Many souls in sin each day are dying.
coming at his feet, repenting bow. Will you come to me? Will you come to him? Mercy call. Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come?
Amen. We thank the Lord for the message. And at this time, let us look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, as we come before thee once again in prayer, we truly want to say thank you for the word that you have shared with us this day. And we know that the word was broke down and made simple for the mind and the heart to understand. And we pray that thou will continue to speak to those souls that are lost and undone and know thee not in the pardon of sin. We realize, dear Father, that your word took a stand today, and it will not return unto thee void. And it went forth for the purpose that you gave it. Whether no one came to this altar at all, your word still did its purpose.
Amen.
For the great judgment day, you have heard and you have not yielded. So we ask that thou would bless. Remember each and every one that's under the sound of my voice. Bless and have thine own divine way. Continue to speak to their hearts and minds as they leave here. Allow them to know that we love them, we care for them, we're concerned about their souls. We realize you saved us one day. You delivered us from sin. We surrendered to your call. We saw the storm all around us. And then we set our eyes on Jesus. And you lifted us out. You stopped us from drowning. You allowed us to be lifted up. Have thine own divine way. Speak to a man's heart. Allow him to know that this is a righteous and a holy way, and that Jesus has trod this path before him, and that it is easily to obtain through Christ Jesus. Deny self and turn to God. For Christ's sake is our prayer. Amen. Well, thank the Lord for each and every one that's here. You can be seated at this time. Good to see some of the faces we haven't seen for a while. I know we're supposed to read some announcements. I don't know when we do that. I guess we'll do that after we do this. Okay. But Frank, good to see you. Have any words to share with us? How things been going for you? All right. We're going to keep you in our prayers and continue to pray for you and your families as well. All right. Any other? Linda, good to see you here today. Any words to share with us? Just good to be here? Okay. Well, good to have you. All right. Anyone else? Feel free. Sister Lawrence. Amen. Amen.
I have released a lot of people that have been talking to others.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Yes.
Continue to press on. Continue to press on. Thank the Lord. Just like the Lord to give you a helper. Amen.
Yes.
There's always a ram in the bush with when you're a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any others? Okay.
We'll read these announcements.
Once again, bear with me on the announcements. I'm going to give a shot at this. Sunday, May the 13th, 2018, announcements. Sayo to Point this Friday, the 18th of May, 7:30 to 8:30. Please pray for this work. Visitation with Brother Charles Lewis to be announced. Vacation VBS, Vacation Bible School 2018 will be July 16th through the 20th, 2018. Please pray for this work in the Lord. November turkey giveaway for May, two boxes of mashed potatoes. Usually there's some down here so we can show them to you, but two boxes of mashed potatoes or two cans of cranberry sauce. Please check the expiration date for 2019. That means that we'd like the expiration date to be at least 2019 and beyond, it says. Also remember the money canister. We have a money canister downstairs. Is also a way to contribute, keep praying for this work in our Lord Jesus Christ. Wednesday night Bible study, devotional leader, Sister Melita McElroy. Her alternate is Sister Millicent McElroy. No birthdays. Bus driver, thank the Lord for Sister Melita doing having a safe travel today. Next Lord's Day will be Sister Millicent. And then we have a sick and shut-in list. Continue to pray for these families, saints and friends that are listed on here. And truly remember them. A lot of them have been on here for quite a while, and some maybe have recently been put on. But keep them in your prayers. And truly even take a bulletin home and look at them occasionally and have a prayer for them. Amen. Thought for today, are you standing for the right of God or falling? Amen. So is there anything else, any other thoughts we need to?
Sister Mills, are you working on something back there?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, being that it's Mother's Day, there's always a little love that we share for the mothers, and I believe Sister Millicent and some of our little ones are going to be helping us out here, so they'll take over now. All right.
So before we give out our gifts, we have a small poem for all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day is what we want to say. We thank God for you each and every day. We hope you enjoy your special gift and that you continue to come is our wish.
Amen.
Good morning. Good afternoon. And as I always say at work, good evening. I have an announcement, and I know most of you will like it, especially my grandmother. I want to apologize, first of all, to God for you guys, because a year ago, on Mother's Day, I was going to ask to be sick, but I postponed it. And I waited till possibly my birthday to do it, but since what was going on with the carols, I decided to postpone it again. That was the weekend we also had Easter, and I had a nice conversation with my cousin in Iraq, and then I kind of got disturbed, not disturbed, I was more like upset at the way we had that conversation going, because my aunt, one of my aunts, usually around Easter, she usually says he has risen, and I have sent that to him, and he had told me that I shouldn't say that word if I wasn't truthful to what I believe. And I didn't respond to that. I waited a minute or so, and I said, I understand. And then later on in the week, I had a conversation with Sister Blake, and Sister Blake said to me, she understood my decision of what I responded back to him, and but she also was praying for my soul. And then on the 15th of April, when you guys were singing my favorite song from Jonathan, He Lives, I broke down, because the last Lord's Day we had for Sunday dinner, I believe, and I got upset on that day. And I had to ask Sister Carol and Brother Carol asked me what was upsetting me, and I had to explain to them. And I had said the only song that's probably going to bring me back to normal would be if Jonathan could sing He Lives. And he sang that song for me. I took it as my birthday present, as my regular present. And then I felt guilty on that day. That's why I broke down on that day. Because I was guilty that I asked him to sing that song, and that was the last time we heard it. So I was hesitant again to say it. So after again talking to Sister Blake and my sister in Boston and a few other people, I just decided to go ahead and do it. I had already pre-warned Sister Blake and Sister Jenkins before they went on their trip. That's why on Wednesday you guys heard a big laugh coming from that prayer room. But I was trying to make it a surprise because I wanted my grandmother to know that I was doing this. So, Grandma, I am going to accept God and Jesus, although I have always believed in Jesus since I was born, because that's what my sisters always said to me. You were the first one and the only one in the family that when they came to Christian holidays, you were right there by the TV. It wasn't that you were in front of a Bible. You were right there in front of the TV watching those stories and learning. So I wanted to make sure you guys knew. I want to be safe. And I wanted to give this gift to my grandma and on Mother's Day. So without ado, we'll go to Mother's basket.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah,
prayer's in order now. She wants to give her life to the Lord.
Amen.
So faith is the words of prayer, and then we gather around for prayer.
Sounds like a confession, saying,
oh, sorry.
Confessing this. Knowing the best way she knows how to ask the Lord into her life. So we ask that you all will gather around and look to the Lord in prayer. I believe there was a prayer understood on Wednesday night in the prayer room. But as the confession was made before the congregation of the people of God, we want to recognize it even now as a confession before the church of God and the people of God. Amen. Amen. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Scott, do you want to lead in a word of prayer on her behalf? You've heard all that she has confessed, that she has been trying. Now she has come to this point.
Amen. California to Arizona, she slept the entire time, and then slept on the way from Phoenix to wherever they were going, another two-hour ride, and I said, would you go get some eight-hour sleep and then do your day sleep routine? But I know her mother's excited to have her home, so they're doing errands. I just wanted to let you guys know, thank you for the prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
The moment a child is born, but the mother never a. Mother is something absolutely new. Moms are like buttons. They hold everything together.
All right.
Miss Betty, when we call your name, please raise your hand so the children know who you are. Miss Betty.
Sister Wickfall.
Sister Regina. Sister Regina. Marietta, Sister Melissa, Sister Carol, see her clear in the back, see Sister Melissa in the back, Sister Carol, Heather, Sister Lorenzine, you want to move? Sister Lorenzine. Sister D. Sister Violet. Raise your hand, Sister Violet. Sister Vivian Holmes. Mr. Holmes right there, behind Grandma. Kevin, she's behind Grandma. Miss Linda?
Kevin.
Miss Linda?
Okay.
Can you get all the ladies?
Yeah. Yeah, what's the word?
Can we get them all?
Amen.
Enjoy your Mother's Day gift, just a little something. Happy Mother's Day. Just come out and say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Happy Mother's
Day. Stand up in the front. Heaven over here so they can't see you. Okay, let's just turn to the mother. Just come. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we thank the Lord, and we'll allow ourselves to be dismissed. Kind Heavenly Father, we once again come before Thee, truly wanting to say thank You once again this day. And we ask that Thou would bless as we close out this service, but not be away from Your presence. We ask that You will bless us for safety on the highways as we travel our separate ways or going to and fro. We ask that Thou would look down with favor, keep us in perfect peace, make a pathway sure before us. Have Thine own divine way, and let us truly always give Thee the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed. Okay.
Amen.